Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto thee, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our salvation. Amen. What do you think about our selection of readings for today? This is the gospel of our Lord after John's head being chopped off. I'm not going to preach on that, although I could. Thinking about it, I was going to entitle it Sorta Sorry. Herod was sorta sorry. He wanted to keep John alive, but not enough to really do anything. But anyway, maybe in 3 years when this comes around again, I'll do that, and you'll get the rest of the story on that. But what I want to talk to you about today is the epistle reading that Jessica read to us today. It's a beautiful reading. It focuses on the saving work of the triune God from the beginning to the end. Our salvation is a gift of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this reading goes through that very beautifully. And he delivers us to us those promises in our baptism. This reading, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, as Paul wrote it in the original Greek, is all one sentence, one very long sentence. Paul is known for that. When we translated it, when it was translated into English, it was put sentences and commas and all that kind of stuff to help make it make more sense. But it was all one big run-on thing, and it was in the pattern of a Hebrew prayer called a Beraka prayer. Now, a Beraka prayer, it was first mentioned in Exodus chapter 18, verse 16, after the Jews were led out of Egyptian slavery. And Jethro, who is Moses' father-in-law, said this, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians." Now, you notice in this, there's no exhortation to the people. It's pure doxology. It's pure praise for what God has done for us. The people of God are mentioned only as recipients, and that's what we have before us today. We have exactly that kind of prayer. Paul begins by introducing the work of the triune God. And so I'm going to kind of break it up into different verses and look at the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as I go through this today. In the opening verse 3, Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms." And it says here, "with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Really, the Greek for that says, "every blessing of the Spirit." Now, does that make a difference? I think it really does. Because the way it's written in Greek, it's a genitive of possession, which means these blessings that's being bestowed upon it is a possession of the Spirit, which is the third person of the Trinity of God. So God is the one giving us the gifts. It's not like we have forged something out of nothing and we get a blessing. No, God is giving us the completed work. He's given us the whole package. And listen to what the language is here. It says that He has blessed us. When is he going to bless us? When? He has. Right. It's past tense, right? He has blessed us with what? One or two things? Every gift of the Spirit. So when we're praying for gifts of the Spirit, like how many of you are suckers enough to pray for patience? No. God is going to say to you, "I already gave it to you. You already have every gift of the Spirit. So you know what you need to do? Practice." You want some more grace? I've already given it to you. You already have all that you need. All you need to do is practice it. You want mercy? I've already given you that gift. Just practice. You know, you've heard the old expression, practice makes perfect. Let me tell you, just be careful what you practice, because you practice the wrong thing long enough and you're going to get that down perfectly wrong too. God has blessed you with every gift of the Spirit, Every single one of them. You already have it. It's yours. He goes on here to say, for God chose us in him. No, he's talking about every spiritual blessing where? In Christ. Jesus is God's yes. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. How long ago? Before the creation of the world. Now, I'm going to get back into this in just a little bit. To be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and goodwill, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves. Wow. For he chose us. The title of my sermon is Chosen. What a beautiful thing it is to be chosen. You know, think back in your life. How many times have you been chosen? You know, the first one was by God. When? Before the foundations of the earth. He chose you and he predestined. Does that word predestined freak you out at all? I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about what predestined means, because some people, followers of John Calvin, would say that God is sovereign and that God has chosen this group to save and this group to damn. So he's chosen some to save and some to be lost. That's not what predestination means. That's not in keeping with God. The Bible tells us that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Not just the ones that are in the select group that somehow God has decided beforehand. It's not like that at all. But what God did before the creation of the world, and it's important that we understand this, because our sinfulness was not a surprise to God, amen? When we keep messing up, sometimes it surprises me when I do it, but it doesn't surprise God, because God knows all about it. Because God is outside of time, amen? God is not some old man with a beard sitting on some throne. He is outside of time. He is ageless. He's the Ancient of Days. He is the one who was, who is, and who is to come, all wrapped up in one big divine moment. There's no history for God. God is all things. He is eternal. So this doesn't surprise him. So when God decided to create something which was not himself, He knew what free will was going to cost him. He knew that giving us a choice to love him or rejecting him would cost him his only son. It wasn't a shock when Eve took the bite of the fruit and gave it to Adam and he ate. That wasn't a surprise. He didn't have to panic and go to the situation room and come up with a plan to deal with it. He already knew it. Before the creation of the world, it was predestined that his son, Jesus Christ, would come into this world, born of a woman, born as a human, to be under the law, to live the perfect life that we could not live, and die to pay the price for the sins that we could not pay for. God had it planned from the beginning of the world, from before the beginning of the world. He predestined Christ to come in to be the answer and the solution for our sin. That's what it means to be predestined. It means that God loved you and knew you and chose you. He chose everyone. That is, everyone that's chosen go. We're in baseball season right now, and it's not as fun to watch the Padres as it is the Dodgers. But if you're a Padre fan, you know we're. I'm saying that for my friend, the all-time Dodger fan over here. He always takes me to a Padres-Dodger games and watches me squirm. But I don't know. We've given him a run for the money. But there's been a lot of players that have been chosen to go to the All-Star game. Right? Is everyone going? No. Why? Some of them have injuries. Some of them want to save themselves for the season when games count. There's a bunch of different reasons. So we have a bunch of different reasons why we don't respond to God. Well, I wasn't brought up this way. There's just not enough evidence to convince me. I don't know. I'll come to God when I get my life in order. That's one of my favorite excuses for coming to God. I can't come to God. Now I need to clean myself up first. Like, okay, who got you dirty in the first place? It was you, right? So now all of a sudden you're going to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get yourself all cleaned up? No, come to God just as you are. Come to Him now. He's chosen you. When? From before the creation of the world, He knew you and chose you to be in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then He goes on to talk about being adopted into sonship. Wow. Adoption is not a Jewish thing. It's a Roman thing. Adoption means that, I heard somebody once say that a child that's adopted grows in her mother's heart and not in her stomach. Well, we grew in the heart of God all along. And He adopted it. It's a Roman term that says that when someone is adopted, they get the full rights and privileges of a natural child. And the Bible tells us that God has lavished His love on us, that we should be called His children. I haven't had anything to drink, I promise. It's just the way it is. He's lavished His love on us greatly to be called His children. You know, there's a story about a guy that went into a bank to open up an account. And he walks in, he goes, I'd like to open a joint account. And the person that worked there said, okay, who do you want to have on your account with you? And he goes, I don't know, any billionaire will do. Wouldn't that be great to have a joint check account with Jeff Bezos or one of these trillionaire kind of people? Well, you know, as a Christian, you got something way more than that. Because Jeff Bezos may be traveling up into space or something, but guess what? You've got a joint account with the one who created the universe. Amen? You have a joint account. Do you really recognize this? And this is what I want to bring to you. I want you to understand the depth of God's love for you and what that means in your everyday life. That means when you go out there in life and people will put you down as they're apt to do, hold your head up. Hold your head up because you are a child of God. You've been given the gift of the Spirit. You've got a joint account with the one that owns everything in the universe. Hold your head up. You are a child of God. Let me hear you say it. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Absolutely right. Don't let anybody ever try to take that away from you. So we have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. With wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will. That's people always ask, what is God's will for me? There's no mystery. It's not like God had this secret plan in His mind and He's keeping us from knowing it. He's revealing it to us. He put it in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ lived out this life in this world so that we could know who God is. You know, before Jesus came, the Jews only could know God through the Ten Commandments, through the prophets. But we know God through the person of Jesus Christ. We know the mercy that He has for us. And then He goes on about the Holy Spirit. And you were included in Christ. This is verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. So when do we come to faith? We come to faith when we hear the Word of God and the Holy Spirit moves us in the direction to be able to accept it. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in the waters of our baptism. We strengthen our faith when we come to the table, when we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a deposit. Now, if you're going to purchase something, sometimes you need this earnest money, right? A deposit. You want to make an offer on a home, good luck. You want to make an offer on a home? You put an earnest money, you put a deposit. That means you're serious about this. God is serious about you. He has put a deposit in you. And what is that thing? It's not cash. It's Himself. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us in the hearing of the word. The Holy Spirit comes to us in the waters of our baptism. And He's inside of us as a deposit that does what? It guarantees what is to come. Now, how valuable is a guarantee? It depends on the person making it, though, really, right? 100% guaranteed. I'm going to put a new roof on my house. So the roofer guarantees it for life. So how long is life? Life of what? Life of that company. What happens if the company goes out of business in 2 years? Where's my guarantee? It's gone. So how is God different? When is God going to go out of business? How long has God been in business? From eternity past to eternity future. God is never going to go out of business. And He's put Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit in us as a deposit. So how do I know that this is true? How do I know that I am saved? Because I have the Holy Spirit. I've been predestined to be able to say that Jesus Christ is Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.